You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
What you people discovered is bigger than we ever thought possible.
How big is that thing?
It was the largest shark that ever existed.
A living fossil.
Thought to have been extinct.
Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is Gina Versa from the Waffle Press.
What's up?
And today we're going to be talking about the Meg. the shark movie you didn't know was the shark movie that you didn't know was gonna be popular, but until recently and it's kind of being, it's kind of the talk at the moment.
Yeah.
So Gene, what did you think of Warner Brothers and China's $130 million big?
Well, I was very impressed by it. I thought it looked ridiculous seeing the trailers, and I think that's it was a good kind of ridiculous, I would say. It was a surprise and kind of a summer full of a lot of stinkers, I would say. The summer has not been very good to some movie lovers. There wasn't really too many films I was like wowed by. For every like Incredibles, it felt like there was a lot of I wouldn't say terrible movies, but very like lackluster. So, you know, like a Sicario or Jurassic World, that movie. But yeah, this was a pleasant surprise. I had a good time. Yeah, what's up?
Well, I was going to just say, well, the thing with the summer is, you're right, the movies were not technically bad. Like, you know, there was, I think, you know, this year alone, I've only given two movies the F grade, and that was earlier in the year. So I think there hasn't been a really bad movie this summer. It's or ones that I haven't seen. I'm sure some people will easily point out Slender Man or something else is a bad movie, but the thing is about you know, the summer was, it was just a lot of mediocre, forgettable movies. I mean, in while you might can argue that, you know, the summer started strong with the Avengers Infinity, you know, which is, you know, kind of a hard movie to forget.
But
that doesn't excuse, you know, three, you know, forgettable content. Some of it's still enjoyable. I mean, I still like Ocean's 8. There's still lots of really good movies that came out over this. Man, yeah, it's just kind of been, you know, just fine. This is what you get. You're not getting anything.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't leave you with a strong or good feeling. It's just is. Yeah, it's just been a it's just a fine summer. That's it's kind of lame for me at least.
Yeah. So in regards to the Meg, I'm surprised how kind of an event movie. Like, people were actually talking about it. People were actually kind of getting excited about it. And it seemed to me that the Meg, you know, got such huge buzz very quickly. Because, you know, it didn't really come out till like, it got really big buzz. It got buzz kind of towards the end, towards as we got closer to the movie's release. And which is surprising because, you know, the trailer came out so late in the game and it was coming right off the heels of Mission Impossible Fallout, which was another event movie. So, and it's in mid-August. So, it's kind of interesting to see that this movie is doing slightly well. You know, given that, you know, A, no one really goes to, like, shark movies anymore. I mean, yes, The Shallows did very well, and apparently 47 Meters Down did well enough to do another, another sequel, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, you know, it's not, you wouldn't think, okay, now let's make a $150 or $130 million, CG shark movie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could look at the Sharknado success, but still, that's more, but still, it's, you know, and Netflix and, you know, streaming sale, so.
Yeah, no, of course. There was a funny joke around some Asylum people on Facebook where it was like, this is a Asylum movie if we had money.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and it really does follow the plot beats or the tropes of an Asylum movie beat for beat. Like, you know, you don't see the shark that much throughout the film, and you're only in like a few location movie.
Yeah.
And you're working with, I don't want to say B-grade actors, but you're working with actors that are not in there. You're not working with the Chris Pratts.
Yeah.
Or
the state.
Jennifer Lawrence's.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it was a solid cast, though. I will say that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure, but it's, you know, I think, you know. Yeah, but I mean, you just, it's not a cast that you just go, okay, this is, you know, an all-star cast. So going into the Meg, it's interesting because I saw an interview where John Turteltaub was like, way to make this movie and they were trying to figure out a way to do it unexpected, and I think they accomplished the goal because A, they made a competently well-made movie with excellent production value. I mean, all the sets look great. Mm-hmm. Nothing in the movie looks, you know, like horribly CG'd, and the action looks very well done. You know, but it's still kind of a cookie cutter cliche story, and like half the people that die, they don't die by being eaten by the shark.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Very well said. Not to get too much into spoilers, but like not many shark deaths in this movie. Not too many shark deaths as much as, not everyone gets shark death.
Yeah, it didn't have enough shark kills, I would say.
Yeah. And that's the only, if I had one fault against the movie, is I wish it's more bombastic and crazy, and the shark just did like really dumb. But then again, I was thinking, okay, this is the next Geostorm, where like every minute of the movie you just laugh at how like insane everything is. But this movie, it's like, it's really like trying something movie.
It's really trying what?
It's trying very hard to be a competent, exciting film.
Yeah, I would say that.
So more extensive thoughts on the movie.
What's up?
What are your more extensive thoughts on the movie?
Well, I think the better part of this film was the cast, and it was trying, you know, it was still kind of a dumb shark movie, but it was trying like something different with the, I would say just some of the background to this movie, where it's in this, technologically advanced kind of like sea colony thing. I don't know what it was. I guess it's a giant sea bubble thing. And they were looking for creatures of the depth and stuff like that. And there's a lot of adventure to it. It was nice trying to just kind of tell a story that I haven't really seen in a while. The state, as they call him, was on top form, and just kind of just all the just people that they have that you wouldn't expect in a kind of a B movie like this, like Ruby Rose or Rainn Wilson, and the Chinese actress that name escapes me right now. They were just they were very well suited to the roles, and they made for a fun experience. I can't really think of many other thoughts, but it was fun.
And that's where I'm gonna jump off of is, while the cast is really good, especially like Rainn Wilson, Rose, and of course Jason Statham, but also commend, is it Lil Bing Bing, I think? Is that how you say it?
I think so.
And that, I have to commend, that performance, and I have to, it's like, everyone is trying their hardest, to make this work,
mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, which is interesting because it's a risk to try and make this work, because in a way, if you try and make this work, and it doesn't work, it'll just too campy and unintentionally hilarious. But John Turteltaub, I think, does the hard work in trying very hard with both this, and crafting the movie, in that he's trying very hard to make a movie sensible. And also, like, it has character development, and it moves in an unexpected way. Even from a character, from does character wise, even though the plot is pretty much already see a lot in sci-fi on Sci-Fi Channel movies.
Yeah, definitely.
For me, the saving grace of this movie is John Turteltaub, and yeah, sure, Jason Statham is giving a goofy performance, but still, it's for me, it's Turteltaub that brings it all together, because this could have easily been a cookie cutter studio flick where everyone shins and everyone's there for the paycheck, but in the end, you kind of, the chemistry of this crew is all to, you know, it feels really, you know, compelling, and, you know, and the movie stays light and entertaining and moves at a well good enough pace to where you don't notice too many of the flaws.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of the high wire act, yeah, I think Turtletop does a good high act of, you know, balancing everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he does for such a outrageous concept, right?
Even like as they try to explain the science of this, it's still kind of dumb, but you're still kind of, I was still kind of in it.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone is just kind of like, yeah, this is dumb, but I like it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping this would be a dumb movie, and it is, but it takes its, but it handles everything in a, I don't want to say serious way, because that means, you know, because people will kind of interpret that as, you know, oh, it's like the Dark Knight of Shark movies. No. No, it's taking itself.
I don't even know if I would want the Dark Knight of Shark movies.
Oof. I think what the Meg is just trying to do, it's trying very hard to give a weight to this. You know, it's trying very hard, you know, to the central conflict of the story, in that there's a shark that got unleashed. You know, we bent the rules of nature, and now we got to go and stop it. And now we got to stop it before it kills, you know, a thousand, like swallows like 1,000 people in this bay. Mm-hmm. So Gene, as we enter into spoiler territory, what are your favorite moments from the movie? Just key moments in the movie.
I think the finale with Jason Statham on top of a giant megalodon getting going through this ocean, and he's just like on this crazy wild ride. That was so dumb. It's great. And also the Rain Wilson death is just you know, it's so stupid how he gets killed, but so awesome.
Yeah, that's the finale of this movie is the, like, wink, wink, like, that's the cool moment of the movie. And it's a very well-deserved, even though I wish there were more moments like it. It's still just fun. You know, it's really, you know, that moment is just great. And then it's so silly and over and kind of, and doesn't make a whole lot of sense of what's happening, but you're just like, you know what, this character to die, he's going all Ahab on this, so he deserves to die.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does, you know, get his workers killed too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, yeah, and it also, I love the moment all the sharks just like go past Jason Statham.
Oh yeah, no, that was
one of my favorite
things.
Yeah, that was just so, like, it's so cheesy and silly because you're just like, oh my god, where did all these sharks come from?
Yeah, right.
But it's still really good.
Yeah.
I wish the movie had that.
Yeah, I mean, there were some, you know, cringy moments for sure. But, you know, you know what you're getting in case of this type of film, right?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Yeah. So
So with that, is there, what else is there more to talk about with the Meg?
Would you see a sequel to it?
Here's the thing that this premise does brilliantly is that once they, I can't remember what the trench is called, but once they go through that trench and basically open it up, they basically open the Pandora's box of possibilities for not only this movie, but for future movies. So by breaking open that Pandora's box, it's very possible that another Megalodon could resurface, or if they wanted to do kind of a, you know, kind of another like monster movie, they could, giant squid movie. I wouldn't even be opposed if they did a giant starfish movie, just like a starfish that's attacking people.
Yeah. Maybe that might be a little much for me. Yeah, I don't know about this.
It's evil Patrick from SpongeBob.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying is that, you know, by having that explanation, like, as like flimsy as the science is on that, it still works as a, like, you know, as a possible, as leaving the door open for multiple sequels, because there's no telling how many Megs came out.
Yeah, right.
And there's no telling, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the door is open.
Yeah.
And yet another sequel, especially if we can get one more sequel where Jason Statham punches a shark dead.
Exactly. It's a high concept, you know?
Yes. Is there any more to say for now on the Meg?
No, I think those are my thoughts on the Meg. If you like fun, dumb movies, it's gonna be your thing. Don't go in expecting Titanic, but just keep an open mind and you'll have fun. A lot of crowd pleasing moments.
That's what I'll say too about the Meg. Keep an open mind. It's, you know, it's not gonna be the most entertaining movie of the summer, but I don't think you'll forget it. No, sure. I think there are just enough fun moments. Yeah. I think there's enough fun moments in this movie to where you can enjoy it. If they do another sequel, I hope that they, you know, go more bonkers and more crazy. But overall, I think it's a fun movie, and I recommend it.
Yeah. Very well said.
So with that, Gene, we have one. Thank you. So with that, Gene, we have one more person we're going to talk to about the Meg so in the next segment. So, Gene, where can the good people find you?
Sure. You could find me on Twitter and Instagram on Gene9892. You could go to the Waffle Press and see our some cool content there and some videos coming out. That'll be pretty awesome. And yeah, subscribe there. And I would appreciate it if someone does, because looking for new members.
Awesome. All right, we're going to go on to the next person. And Gene, thank you for being on the show.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Megalodon.
He's kidding, right?
Welcome back to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm here with Diego Crespo from the Waffle Press.
Hello.
And we're continuing the conversation about the Meg, the big budget Megalodon shark movie that came out last weekend. So, Diego, what were your thoughts on the Meg?
I was really looking forward to the Meg because I love a good shark movie. And there's never been a big budget major studio one involving the Megalodon, which is the coolest prehistoric creature to ever be on planet Earth, as far as I know, and involves Jason Statham fighting it. So I was really looking forward to it. And I saw it, and I got exactly what I wanted out of it, and nothing more. Nothing more, nothing less. Which is okay, but sometimes it's nice to be a little surprised. That's really like my major negative, just that it was exactly what I expected, and nothing else.
You know, you say that, Diego, but I found this weirdly unexpected because I thought we were getting a totally ridiculous big budget asylum picture. And I was more curious what John Turteltaub was going to do with the material, but he actually put a lot of weight in, not to say that no one ever works hard in Hollywood, but the Meg, it actually felt like people were trying with the material they had. Like, everyone tried to make this, kind of a serious studio picture, if that makes any sense.
Kind of. I don't know. There are times where I could tell they're going for, like, a Jurassic Park, like, Jaws, Spielberg type of vibe. But I think this movie needed to stand in two separate directions. If it really wanted to, like, knock it out of the park, it needed to take the more Jurassic Park Jaws approach, just a little more serious, nothing too heavy-handed, just add a little more weight between the characters and add any themes at all, because there's like a moment where they start talking about, like, oh, this is what happens when you mess with nature, and that just comes out of nowhere. It's like, all right, I guess that's what you're gonna go with for the theme. Or it needed to get more ridiculous and crazy and have Jason Statham punch the shark in the face, which you get close to, but it doesn't happen. It never goes that extra mile of insanity for me.
Yeah, and I think that's the only flaw with the film, is that it only, gets ridiculous to a certain point. Like, it builds to its ridiculousness at the end of the movie, but up to that point, like, there's not that much going on that's, like, totally outlandish or ridiculous. It has its moments throughout the film, but you're right. It doesn't get, like, totally, bombastic, outlandishly ridiculous until, like, the third act when, and I don't think this is a spoiler per se, but when the shark just comes through and comes through the bay and starts trying to eat people. Like, that's the only moment where it kind of gets sort of crazy.
Yeah, and even then, I still don't think it gets crazy enough, mostly because I think of something like Deep Blue Sea, which is the Citizen Kane of dumb shark movies. Just an absolute masterpiece of a B-movie experience. Which is a way meaner movie than The Meg. The Meg's a sweet little movie. It doesn't have a mean bone in its body, really. Which I'm fine with, too. I like that. It's a totally different shark movie experience. But I think something like Deep Blue Sea also took the time to, like, allocate how it wanted to, like, torture these characters. Like, that's a pretty vile movie. Someone screams they're scared and they don't want to die, and then they get, like, eviscerated in front of the camera. And then The Meg doesn't do that. But when Deep Blue Sea does it, it feels paced out a little better. The insanity with the smart sharks is, it's all, like, centralized around this one facility. So when the facility starts falling apart, it feels like the tension's consistently rising. And in The Meg, it's just, it's kind of just like a bunch of these set pieces. The first half, I think, is really solidly constructed. The second half, I think, is more entertaining, but it's just kind of all over the place by that point.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they spend a lot of time in this facility, And I figured, oh yeah, it's going to be the Deep Blue Sea thing where at some point in the movie that's going to get like just wrecked and they're going to have to escape or whatever. And the facility just kind of is never attacked or anything. Like we see the Meg like eat a couple whales, and then you see it in the trailer where it like kind of chomps on the glass where the little girl was at, which is like that's the one moment of the movie where the Meg actually is scary. But other than that, it just kind of winds up going to places and eating some things that the people have no relation to. So it was a little odd, the second half of this movie. I'm still at odds about how to feel about that, even though I do think that ultimately that half is more entertaining. The first half is the better, quote-unquote, movie.
Yeah, because, well, everything is contained, and also, well, I mean, the first half works a lot more because you have 40 minutes of, like, the mystery and the build-up and, you know, what the scientists are there for, and it's not unlike Deep Blue Sea, which is, we're going to try and make sharks smarter so we can cure Alzheimer's. This is just, we're just going on a $1.3 billion venture to explore more life in the sea. That's what, so it's, you know, it's a harmless endeavor, whereas Deep Blue Sea, it's mad, you know, mad scientists, you know, messing with nature. And so, yeah, you have that 40 minutes and then the shark comes, and then, you know, when someone dies in the first half of the movie, there is actual weight to it because the characters were developed and there was actual weight to what was happening. So it's a very well-rounded first half because a lot is happening and you kind of do care about these characters versus when you watch a Sharknado movie and you're just waiting for the Home Alone dad to get eaten by a shark.
Like, I don't know if I care about anyone in this movie. I like the actors, but I don't know if the characters really add like a lot to it, you know? I just recorded my episode with Matt for our shark retrospective because we did a whole thing for Shark Week last year and we didn't do anything this year because we're busy with another retrospective. But I do point out that I think besides Jason Statham, I really love Rainn Wilson. I always have, and I think he's great here. I hope he gets more big budget movie work because he's a great little not just funny, but he's a good character actor. And the little girl is like amazing in this. She's like adorable and hilarious. She mats wits with Jason Statham. That's like awesome. Yeah. I don't know. Like usually child actors, you know, they're kids. Maybe they don't have the legs to do that. And that's fine. They're kids. But here I was very surprised at how entertaining that little actress was. I hope she has a bright future ahead of her. But that's what I come walking away with the cast. Oh, and Li Bingbing, she's a major Chinese movie star. She plays Su Yin in this, and she's pretty good too.
Yeah, those are the actors that are really good in this. But it's also funny to watch Jason Statham just save everybody, except that one time Cliff Curtis gets a boat. But do you feel at any point it's kind of it's a big macho Jason Statham movie where Jason Statham is like the best at everything? Do you ever feel that at all?
It totally is, but I think the movie is aware of that. Like for the many issues that I have with it, I think that's the one thing it really gets right is that like Jason Statham is just action hero man. And how he's set up is like awful, but it doesn't matter because once he's in action, he's Jason Statham, mega hero man. And that's okay because the movie is self-aware enough to like accept that. And then you have even like Rainn Wilson's character like cheering once Jason Statham jumps into the water to save someone. He's like, hell yeah. And the audience I saw it with just ate that up. And then that kind of got me into it too.
Yeah, it's not a complaint. Not a complaint that this is a Jason Statham bravado picture, but it just was funny. Every situation, or all like 90% of the situations, Jason Statham was the one saving everybody. It was just completely hilarious how, and even I was like, you know, turning my head to my friends, like, Jason Statham is like saving everybody. Like, what are these other characters doing? I think it is, for me, it is a very much of a Jason Statham versus the shark, which is exactly what was advertised. So again, I don't have that many complaints about the film per se. But I think the only complaint is I wished it was ridiculous. Let me ask you this. Have you seen Piranha 3D?
Not the Joe Dante one, right? The new one?
The new one.
Yeah, that one I have seen.
Do you think that would have equaled out the ridiculousness if they had done something like that, like that beach scene or that lake scene that's in the middle of the movie where all the piranhas just start eating people and then chaos just happens? Do you think that would have helped the Meg to have a scene similar to that at all?
I don't know. I think what this really needed to do was not just go for like the big monster disaster stuff, which it did also need, because you don't really get that in the end. And you know what? Honestly, maybe that would have been too mean for a movie like this, because a Meg could just swallow like 30 people whole and it'd be like nothing. So I don't know. You probably have a even higher body count. But I think really what it just needed to do was centralize the shark attacks around that science facility and then like head out into land more, because they don't, like, that's a big thing for me. Like they didn't utilize all these materials they had for their shark attack movie, you know, like that's odd to me that you set up all this stuff and then in the third act the shark just goes to a beach that they have to protect that we have no attachment to prior to that. I think that's really what also stops it, apart from like the lack of goofiness or the lack of like concrete ideas and sensibilities. It needed a more rigid structure in the second half.
How would you try and solve the second half? Like, how would you structure it better?
The science facility has to get destroyed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the shark has to like go to town on that, and then like they could still do the boat thing, like when they go out and then like they lose some of their crew, right? And like, oh man, that sucks. And then like immediately when they get back, the shark attacks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then after that, it could still go to land. And they're like, oh shit, like, because then they've lost like everything by that point. So it's kind of like it raises the stakes a little bit. I don't know if that'd solve everything. I'm just a dude behind a computer screen, but I think that'd be a neat way to raise the stakes.
Well, I only ask because you and I are both writers. We're both writers, and I was just asking, like, how would you fix it? Like, how would you, like, doctor it? But that's actually a good way. Just, you know, do their little boat thing and then come back. The shark just, you know, attacks the science station, and then, you know, that blows up, and now they have to like ride on boat to like the seashore with whatever little they have to stop the shark from attacking the mainland. That's actually a good idea.
Thank you.
Why didn't they do that? Why do they have just Rainn Wilson go on a bravado hunt?
Yeah, I don't know. I do like Rainn Wilson's character in this, even though he's like he's kind of Elon Musk-y, but like less evil. Like he makes mistakes, and he's I don't know. I don't think he's like a pure villain, you know, like every monster movie kind of has like that corporate douchebag now. But he's not a full-on like threat. He's like an accidental threat by like keeping information, but not like actively trying to be Paul Reiser from Aliens, you know?
Yeah, it's only when he goes on. You know what? Let me just put the spoiler tag. Spoilers here. Spoilers. when he goes on his bravado hunt and then gets killed, it's kind of ridiculous, like, why he does it, like, why he goes on his little bravado hunt, because who is gonna, because his whole reasoning is, we have to do this so we can, like, minimize the lawsuits and whatnot. And I'm like, wait, who's gonna sue? I didn't see anyone threat to sue. Why would they blame, why would anyone blame you for this? Like, do you under, like, do you have an, do you have a reason why he would be so afraid of the lawsuits and basically the whole journey of, like, why he would do this bravado hunt?
Well, yeah, I mean, that tracks for me. I mean, he's a rich dude who wants to keep all his wealth, even though he ended up caring about those people, whether he did or not. I mean, I guess there's an argument for whether or not he was, like, actually being sympathetic towards the end. I bought that he was. But yeah, I don't think he was gonna, like, just wait around and let someone else kill the shark, you know, because ultimately they are responsible for the shark getting out accidentally. Like, if they filed out a full report, I'm sure no one would get fired or anything or be in prison to be like, look, you made a scientific discovery and then it went horribly wrong. That's all. The sharks were already down there, and that's it. I think that would be okay.
Yeah, but I don't.
From a business standpoint, after that, a lot of people died, which is bad.
Yes. Yes, but it's still, like, that's the only mean part of the movie is the shark coming out and eating Rainn Wilson. In my opinion, that's the meanest part of the movie. Where it's, but it's, you know, but like you said, it's the supposed accidental villain. So.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's not even, like, an antagonist. It reminds me of, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp, where, like, there's really not a villain in that. They're just people that have, like, different goals. And it's not until the, like, very end where someone gets, like, guns drawn on them in, like, a threatening manner. But it's, like, there's not really a villain in Ant-Man and the Wasp. And that's totally cool for that sort of movie, you know? And this, the Meg is a nice little breezy summer action movie to wind down the summer movie season, you know? Just nothing outstanding, nothing awful, nothing bad even. Some odd editing choices here and there. But... really, no, it's just a fine little breezy movie with a bunch of people who the cast really likes each other. That's what I took away from this too. Like, no one in the cast really, like, has a grudge, and if they do, it's squashed within, like, two scenes together, and then, like, yeah, we got important stuff for it, but I'm sorry about this, I'm sorry about that, whatever, it's all good. Even Jason Statham and his ex-wife, I can't remember the actress's name, she's pretty good too. And they're like, oh, yeah, like, oh, God, of course, we're gonna have to work together. And then it's like, no, they're cool. Like, yeah, we were married, but didn't work out. We're better friends. Cool.
Jessica McNamee, I think.
Okay, well, I just thought that was, like, so odd to see in a movie like this in a good way. You know, everyone's always, like, at each other's throats and, like, getting up in each other's faces. And here it's just like, yeah. We all like each other. We're all just good at our jobs. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone realizes they have to work together in order to fight the Meg. It's not, you know, a cliched situation where a bunch of antagonizing forces are having to work together. It's basically Robert Taylor's character and Jason Statham's character. They have a grudge and... because of what happened at the opening of the movie, but that's, you know, kind of squandered after the first 40 minutes of the movie. And even that character makes it up for, you know, kind of his lack of judgment or misjudgment in a very heroic way.
Yeah, and I think that's great, you know? Just, it's a totally different approach to a movie like this. Just let your characters all be buddies, and then even though they're not the deepest characters, it's kind of a... I actually expected a higher body count, so maybe this point might not even, like, land that well. But, you know, so that way when they do get eaten, because plenty of them do get eaten, it'd be like, oh, no, that guy, you know?
Yeah, and I think it means a lot when they are all buddies and then they see each other die after one mishap after the next. Because you're right, there isn't a huge body count, but they do... really struggle hard to kill the shark. So it's very, so when someone does die, it does matter. I don't think you're supposed to care so much about the characters, but I think you're supposed to understand the weight of like the weight and the stake of like having the shark run amok.
Yeah, I'd agree to that.
Yeah, so overall, it is a fun movie. And there's not really too much deep, which is good because I think the deeper, more, you know, interesting movie is the Black Klansman movie that's now out. That and The Meg is just a fun movie. And then Slender Man is just a movie no one wants to see.
Yeah, fuck that movie. Oh, sorry, am I not?
You can cuss. You can cuss. Okay.
No, I just don't want to get in a huge rant, but that Slender Man movie, the politics behind it are like super gross, and they take advantage of a very tragic situation, and I cannot even imagine how that got greenlit. That's just super gross.
Yeah, the only thing interesting about the Slender Man movie is the behind the scenes drama that led on in post. That's really the only thing interesting about it.
Yeah, that's nasty. And I still need to see Black Klansman, but I'm a huge Spike Lee fan, and I have no doubt that he knocked it out of the park. I'm sure that's a wonderful movie. I got to check it out this week.
It's his best movie in years. Just throwing that out there.
All right. I loved Chirac. I want to put that out there. Friend who hasn't seen Chirac, go check out Chirac. It's a little different. Swings big, hits big.
So yeah, and same can be said for the Black Klansman. It's, you know, a dark comedy at times, and then when it needs to be serious, it takes itself serious. But yeah. So any more thoughts on The Meg? It's kind of a fun movie, but it wasn't quite the fun experience. And do you think it would have been more fun if it was an R-rated movie?
For a little bit I did, but honestly, Jaws is a PG, you know, and a child dies screaming and of like a fountain of blood gushes out of the ocean.
To be fair, so, the 70s were pretty light.
I don't know. I've heard people say that. That's a pretty fucked up movie. But yeah. I mean, if you're going to do a PG-13 shark movie, The Shallows did it. That was PG-13, right?
I think I can double check, but go ahead.
That movie's got some blood, but it's like really brief spurts here and there. But The Meg, if you're going to do a PG-13 shark movie, this is kind of the one to do it with, because The Meg is so big that it could just swallow people whole. You know, you don't really need to see blood. Maybe you could see like some traces of blood if it's like swallowing entire crowds and you see like a little red stream like go around the Meg, you know, in the water, but I think PG-13 is fine for this. I just think it needed to get more creative with like how they showed the shark once in a while, or how they framed the action, because I think that's also kind of what holds it back too. It doesn't have the most keen cinematic eye. It's got a good one, just not a visceral one, which I think it needed at times.
Yeah. By the way, The Shallows and for those checking at home, 47 Meters Down are both PG-13 movies, which I was shocked to kind of see, because I remember The Shallows being a lot more violent.
Yeah, no, The Shallows has got like gallons of blood in it, but it's just like dark. And if the MPAA can't tell it's blood right away, they're cool. Just God forbid, don't have children saying bad words or nudity. Because then you're in trouble.
Yeah, we can't have a 14-year-old girl who's exploring herself in a movie without it being R.
You're talking about 8th grade, I assume, right?
Yes.
Okay, I still need to see that, too. Fuck the MPAA. Oh, my God.
I don't even remember what cuss words are in 8th grade. And I just saw the movie again, like, last week. Like,
I'm sure they say, like, fuck a couple times. And then they're like, like, gasp. People can't handle this. And then, like, every Marvel movie involves, like, hundreds of people dying. And it's like, oh, that's cool. It's all good. For kids. Like, fuck that.
Welcome. Welcome to the MPAA, where we love our, you know, over the top stylized violence, but you know, whenever someone sees a boob or says fuck, we gotta make that R.
That's like the most American thing ever. Oh my god. Awful.
We love our violence. Yeah. We love our heads on our sticks.
Yeah. You know what? Most people love nudity too, but it's like taboo. So you can't have that. And I'm not saying nudity should be the one that's more like PG-13 centric, but language and stuff. Like I've heard the way you people talk, you filth.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, that's the most shocking thing, is people are still appalled by language. Like, I guess old people, but still. It's it's incredibly weird how we get sensitive to those things. Even Skyscraper, I was like, this could have easily been an R-rated movie, and nothing would change. Maybe just, like, some blood spurts, but, you know, there's nothing in this movie that's, like, you know, that warrants really a PG-13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Go watch The Meg. It's a solid time. If you're, here's the thing. If you're interested in it, you're probably going to like it. If you weren't interested in it, don't run out to check it out. Like, cause I can't say that for sure. Like, you'll love it, you know?
Right.
Maybe a Redbox rental for a movie night could be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Pizzas, get some friends. Boom.
Yeah, that's what I would say, is don't see this like midweek matinee where no one's in the theater. If you are going to see it, don't, you know, see it with a crowd. Maybe, you know, if you go to a dine-in theater and get a beer or two, or wait till you're at home and rent it on Redbox and just invite some friends over for pizza and beer and that, or drinks, and just have a good time. Cause it's really what The Meg wants to do. It just wants to give you a good time. It doesn't want to be mean. Doesn't want to like shock you with violence like Deep Blue Sea does. It doesn't want to also like make you laugh at its effects like Sharknado does. It's just a fun movie. Just a fun movie the whole entire way. And it doesn't have
it. Yeah, I go ahead.
And like you said, Diego, it doesn't have a mean bone about it.
Yeah, it really doesn't. I would say it's still not part of my holy trinity of shark movies. That is still Jaws, Deep Blue Sea, and The Shallows.
Well, those are three hard movies to beat.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you beat Jaws?
I think someone could do it one day. I think someone, no one can beat Jaws. But I think someone could beat Deep Blue Sea someday. I don't know about The Shallows. I really think The Shallows is a massively underappreciated, perfect piece of like blockbuster movie making. Deep Blue Sea, you could do it. You could get a movie that's just as mean and vicious without diluting the scares and the nastiness. Or maybe it doesn't even need to be mean, but I think there's another great shark movie out there waiting to happen.
There is. I thought it would be this movie, and it comes close, but not close enough.
Yeah. I, you know what? I'd still buy it, because I want to have this in my collection just to watch like casually, or like it's the perfect like Netflix watch, you know? Just kind of put on the background, tune in, tune out. And, oh yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see it again, just like because it is a fun sea adventure. It is, you know. It's fun to watch. Like there's and that's basically the goal of the movie. It just wanted to be fun, and I don't have any complaints. There's, you know, yeah, I think it's even Tom Stern, who does all the Clint Eastwood movies and the first Hunger Games. I think this is one of his better like cinema movies he's shot as a cinematographer. So because it looks very lush a lot of times.
Yeah, it feels like a summer movie. And I love that. It didn't have any sort of like that digital nonsense that you get when you don't like color time and correct properly, but it looked like you're out there in the ocean with them. That was nice. That was cool.
Yeah. So any final thoughts on The Meg?
No, I think I pretty much said my piece. You're interested, go watch it. If you're not, wait until you're interested, or just probably avoid it, because you kind of know what you're getting from the trailer. And if that doesn't look like your thing, you're not going to like it. And that's fine. Go watch Jaws again. Jaws is still the best fucking movie.
It is. It's the best Spielberg movie ever. But yeah, so on that note, Diego, where can the good people find you?
You can find me on Twitter.com at DEWOWaffles, at The Waffle Press on YouTube and SoundCloud, also on iTunes now. And check out our monthly roundtable episodes where we go over the movies we watched every month. And check out the retrospective series I do with my friend Matt Garingo, where we go over a series or series of movies. And right now we're making our way through Predator, leading up to Shane Black's Predator. So
yes,
keep an eye out for that. I don't know what episode we'll be on when this goes up, but probably Predator 2 will be out by then. So yay.
Maybe. I can get this out today or tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Then just Predator.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I will probably try and get this by tomorrow afternoon. Yeah.
Okay, great.
But good luck on the Predator retrospectives. We'll do one for the Youth Critic as well. I'll do one for the Youth Critic, but yeah, good luck. I can't wait to hear it. I love the first one.
No, oh, thank you very much.
And please go check out the Waffle Press. They make really good content. Diego and Gene and Nick work really hard over there.
Yes, I do. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we all do.
Hey.
No.
I see those tweets of Gene editing.
Yeah, I'd be lost without him.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. We'll be back next week. I don't know what we're going to talk about yet. Crazy Rich Asians is like the new popular movie, but I don't know anyone that's seeing it yet. So we'll see. We'll think of something for next week. All right. Thanks, Diego.
And thanks for having me again. Bye-bye.
That thing's out there. You need to find it and kill it.
Why don't you just put a tracker on it? Did you guys ever watch Shark Week?
He looks heroic, but
he's kind of got a negative attitude.
Chew on this, you ugly...